colleagues, good morning and welcome to the conference call of BMW Group second quarter 2019. We have here Harald Krüger, Chairman of the Board of Management of BMW AG, and Dr. Dominik Graf-Peter, Member of the Board of Management of BMW AG Finance. The two gentlemen will first give you an overview of business development. After that, you'll be given time for your questions. Mr. Krüger has the floor.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today, I would like to address three main points: our electric model program, our market performance, and our profitability. Many of you were at our first Next Gen in the BMW Welt at the end of June. We were very pleased with the positive feedback in media and social networks. At the event, we showed our clear approach to the future to offer sustainable mobility with a variety of drive technologies. Our focus is clearly on the customer. Our customers' needs and desires are diverse across the globe, as are the regions and locations where they live. Therefore, we're offering our customers various attractive solutions during this phase of great technological change in our industry. Our approach towards sustainability is holistic, including vehicles production and supply chain. Let me give you two examples. First, as of next year, all our 31 production sites in 15 countries will obtain the electricity they need from renewable energies. Second, we are already developing our first-generation electric drivetrain. It will be first used to power the BMW iX3 starting next year. From then on, our electric engines will no longer use rare earth. We see all these things as part of our overall responsibility. We've set ourselves ambitious goals for electrification of our fleet. By 2021, we will double sales of our e-models and plug-in hybrids. In 2023, that's 2 years earlier than planned, we will have 25 electrified models on the market. More than half will be fully electric. By 2025, we expect our electrified vehicles to be growing by an average of more than 30% per year. As you can see, we're making great strides in this area, and the growth curve is exponential. In Germany alone, we sold over 10,000 electrified vehicles in the first 6 months of 2019. That is around 60% more than in the same period last year. Sales of our fully electric BMW i3 surged 85% in our domestic market. Three of the five top-selling plug-in hybrids in Germany are from the BMW Group. In the first half of the year, i3 sales climbed 21% worldwide, even though it has been on the market since 2013. Electrification also continues at MINI. Sales of the Countryman plug-in hybrid were up more than 50%. In July, we presented our fully electric MINI in Rotterdam and Oxford. The MINI Cooper SE will roll off the production line in Oxford later this year. It's enjoying strong popularity with over 40,000 interested customers. Already today, with 10 models, we offer customers a wide range of electrified vehicles in all segments. At Next Gen, we made it very clear. We support the aim of a CO2-neutral society, the same goal formulated by the EU Commission President for the EU by 2050. At the BMW Group, we're consistently expanding our full electric range with the iX3 from 2020, the BMW i4, and the iNEXT as a new technology leader also as 2021. To ensure that we can focus on both present and future needs and still remain profitable, we're relying on a mix of different technologies. That is clearly what our customers want. Now on to the second topic, our sales performance. We're growing in a declining and highly competitive world car market. The BMW Group achieved new all-time highs in both the second quarter and the first half of 2019. In the second quarter, that also applied to BMW Group, Rolls-Royce, and BMW Motorrad brands. In our largest sales market, China, we beat the trend with growth of almost 24% in the second quarter, and we won market share. Through June, the brand BMW was number one in the U.S., was number one in the U.K., and in Germany, we grew more strongly than the entire market and the premium segment. Globally, we were able to significantly reduce the difference between the brand BMW and Mercedes-Benz in the first half year. In the month of June, BMW was ahead of Mercedes. At group level, we continue to lead the premium segment. Our new model rollout continues at full speed. The new BMW 3 Series and the new Z4 have been in showrooms since March. The new BMW 7 Series will now also be launched in China. Sales of our X models were up by almost a quarter in the first half year. The new BMW X7 has been available since March and enjoys high demand as segment leader. The X7 brings the popular and highly successful X family to seven models. In early July, we also announced the new BMW X6. This completes the renewal of our X series. Over the past 2 years, all X models from X1 to X7 have either been refreshed, newly launched, or launched for the very first time. The new BMW 8 Series is part of our rollout plan in the luxury segment. In addition to the coupe, the convertible has been available since March. Since July, production has begun for three more 8 Series models at our Dingolfing plant, the Grand Coupe and the M models of the coupe and convertible. We expect that the Grand Coupe will be the top-selling 8 Series model. In late September, BMW will launch the new 1 Series, the new 3 Series Touring, and the revised X1. The X1 will also be available as a plug-in hybrid from 2020. This variant was previously only available in China. As you know, the BMW brand will be releasing 21 new or revised models this year alone. And now to my third point, our profitability. The BMW Group has often successfully mastered turbulent times in its past. Today, volatility, changing conditions, and increasing regulatory requirements are part of our everyday business. The BMW Group will continue its successful development and is investing heavily in future technologies to ensure this. We're able to do so because we're profitable. Our EBIT margin in the automotive segment was 6.5% in the second quarter. Therefore, we're on course for the expected target range of between 4.5% to 6.5% in 2019. And I would like to emphasize again, for the first 6 months, the EBIT margin without the provision related to ongoing antitrust allegations from the EU Commission was 6.1%. This would therefore fall within our original guidance of 6% to 8% for the entire year. As you can see, the BMW Group is clearly on track to meet its goals for the financial year 2019. Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to finish on a personal note. This is my last quarterly conference as CEO of BMW AG. I joined the Board of Management in the midst of the global economic and financial crisis back in December 2008. As part of this board, I was able to play a significant role in shaping the course of the BMW Group for more than 10 years and over four of those as a chairman. During this time, we forged new paths. I firmly believe the BMW Group is robust, innovative, and in a strong position to manage the complex challenges facing the company today. BMW has been my professional home for more than 27 years. You'll understand, I'm sure, that the BMW Group will always have a special place in my heart. I wish my successor, Oliver Zipse, much success. I would like to thank you all for the valuable exchanges and discussions we've had over the years. No doubt, you will continue to follow our industry and the BMW Group very closely. Although everyone faces the same challenges, not every company is the same. The BMW Group continues to forge its own path. Think of the discussions around diesel. The BMW Group did not deceive its customers. I'm sure the BMW Group will continue to be successful in the future. Thank you. Thank you, Harald Krüger. And now over to Nicola Peter. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. I would like to take the opportunity on behalf of my colleagues on the board and personally, and on behalf of all colleagues, I would like to thank Harald Krüger for the very good and trusting cooperation in the past years. The conditions in our industry are currently changing faster than ever before. In times as these, taking on responsibility as a CEO has our highest respect, same as his decision after more than 10 years to no longer be available as a member of the board. And I can also assure you I'm very much looking forward to close cooperation with Oliver Zipse, whom I've known for many, many years. Ladies and gentlemen, now back to daily business and the details of the business development in the second quarter. The BMW Group remains on course after the first 6 months of 2019. In a challenging, declining overall market, we increased segment share. As previously announced, the operating result for the automotive segment has improved compared to the first quarter, and we are on track to meet our goals for the year. Our performance shows that we're in a strong position compared to many competitors, despite a difficult political and economic environment. The company's half-year sales topped 1.25 million vehicles for the first time, thanks largely to our young and attractive product portfolio. A good example of this is the X7. By the end of June, the X7 had already been delivered to more than 13,000 customers around the world. Our performance remains particularly dynamic in China, above all, where despite a declining overall market, we report double-digit growth. Ladies and gentlemen, let's look at our financial figures for the group. Group revenues for the second quarter rose by 2.9% to 25.72 billion euros, benefiting in part from a slight currency tailwind. We once again made high upfront investments in the second quarter as we strive to shape technological change. As expected, currency and commodity prices, higher depreciation, and measures for emission-free mobility also had a dampening effect. The financial result for the second quarter came to minus 148 million euros, and I will provide more details for each segment later. Impacted by the lower financial result, second quarter pre-tax earnings totaled 2.05 billion euros. Due to the provision made in the first quarter in connection with the antitrust allegations by the European Commission, pre-tax earnings for the first 6 months decreased to 2.82 billion euros. The group EBT margin stood at 8% for the quarter and 5.8% for the first 6 months. Excluding the provision, the figure for the year to end of June was 8.7%. Ladies and gentlemen, running a sustainable, profitable business remains our top priority. We are therefore making systematic investments today to secure our future, even in the current challenging business environment. A high degree of flexibility is essential. With our efficient combustion engines, plug-in hybrids, and battery electric drivetrains, we are highly diversified. And at the same time, we're continuing the research into fuel cells. In addition to further developing our drivetrains, we're also focusing on increased connectivity between drivers, vehicles, and their environment, autonomous driving, and mobility services. Second quarter research and development expenditure, according to the German Commercial Code, amounted to 1.48 billion euros. The figure for the first half year was around 2.83 billion euros. The R&D ratio for the second quarter stood at 5.7%. As previously announced, the ratio is likely to stay between 6 and 6.5% for the full year. It will therefore be lower than last year's exceptionally high figure of 7.1% as planned. Ladies and gentlemen, we continue systematically gearing ourselves for future-oriented topics. This principle is also reflected in our investment strategy. In the second quarter, we invested a total of around 1.18 billion euros. Capital expenditure for the year to the end of June reached 2.18 billion euros. This seasonally atypical increase in the first half year stems mainly from the large number of product ramp-ups, as for example the new 3 Series and the new 1 Series, and the opening of a new plant in Mexico. Going forward, we will be able to export the 3 Series sedan from San Luis Potosí to more than 40 countries that have a free trade agreement with Mexico. The CAPEX ratio for the year to the end of June reached 4.5%. Despite the introduction of IFRS 16, we still expect the ratio for the full year to be only slightly higher than the previous year's 5.2%. Ladies and gentlemen, let's move on to the individual segments. In the automotive segment, deliveries to customers remained stable from last year as planned. Despite the model changeovers I mentioned and the highly competitive environment, especially in Europe, segment revenues for the second quarter increased to 22.62 billion euros. The segment's operating earnings for the second quarter totaled 1.47 billion euros. The EBIT margin was 6.5%. Due to the provision we recognized in the first quarter, the margin for the first half year was 2.8%. We are on course for the expected target range for the entire year of between 4.5 and 6.5%. Without the provision, the figure was 6.1%, and therefore within our original guidance of 6 to 8%. The increasingly challenging market environment and sustained intense competition dampened business development. As expected, higher manufacturing costs and scheduled depreciations also impacted earnings. R&D spending remained high as planned, focusing in particular on development of vehicle architectures and drivetrains, as well as new products, electrification and connectivity. In the financial result, the preliminary one-time revaluation effect from combining mobility services with Daimler was mostly offset by a planned loss in equity accounted investments in your now companies. In the previous year, the result included a positive valuation effect in connection with the acquisition of DriveNow. Let's now look at the segment's free cash flow. At 869 million euros for the second quarter, it was, as expected, significantly higher than in the first 3 months of the year. We're also targeting a positive free cash flow in the second half year and aiming for a figure which should approach a similar level as last year. In addition to high capital expenditure and upfront investments, market development in a number of regions is proving more challenging than originally anticipated. This is dampening earnings and cash flow generation. Ladies and gentlemen, let's move on to the financial services segment, which continued its growth trajectory in the second quarter. The number of new contracts concluded with retail customers rose by 4.4% in this quarter to more than 500,000 contracts. With more than 5.35 million retail contracts as of 30th of June, the total portfolio increased 2.3% from the end of 2018. The China region notably reported strong growth. Pre-tax segment earnings for the first half year rose 3.8% to 1.2 billion euros. This positive development in the first 6 months is largely due to portfolio growth and a continued stability of the risk situation with reduced residual value risk expenses in individual markets. The second quarter figure was 573 million euros. This figure is impacted by negative effects in the financial result from the market valuation of interest rate derivatives due to falling interest rates across the globe. Now let's look at the motorcycle segment. BMW Motorrad performed well in the first 6 months of the year. A total of around 93,200 motorcycles were delivered to customers, an increase of 7.1%. This positive business development was reflected in the operating result as well, which at 102 million euros for the second quarter was also higher year on year. EBIT margin was 14%. Ladies and gentlemen, let's turn to the forecast for the current year. In the first 6 months, business developed in line with our expectations. As planned, we were able to improve on our first quarter performance. We expect this solid earnings development to continue into the second half of the year, boosted by further product momentum. We are therefore able to confirm our outlook for 2019. As long as conditions do not deteriorate significantly, we expect to remain within our announced guidance range for the full year. In the automotive segment, deliveries are forecast to increase slightly. More new models will be launched in the second half of the year. We expect the new 3 Series and the larger X models in particular to generate positive momentum. We may remain on course for an EBIT margin within our adjusted target range of 4.5 to 6.5% for 2019. In the motorcycle segment, we're planning for a solid increase in deliveries. The EBIT margin should remain within our target range of 8 to 10%. In the financial services segment, we expect return on equity to be on par with last year and above our target figure of 14%. Group earnings before tax will also be significantly lower year-on-year as a result of the provision for ongoing antitrust proceedings and the decrease in the financial results from the previous year. Our guidance assumes that political and economic conditions will not change significantly. Ladies and gentlemen, our strong performance in a declining overall market shows that our attractive products and groundbreaking technologies are winning customers. Flexibility will also remain key to our future success. It allows us to respond to demand in different regions of the world at any time and adjust volumes in line with market development. At the same time, we continue to activate all levers at our disposal to secure our profitability. The BMW Group is and will remain a strong company. Our innovative strength and focus on growth based on a very solid financial profile provides the best basis for our future success. Thank you. So much, Dr. Peter. Thank you very much, colleagues. We now have time to take your questions. I would now like to ask the colleagues to provide the technical information for the conference. Ladies and gentlemen, we begin with our Q&A session. If you would like to ask a question, push the key 0 and 1 on your telephone. You will then be given an opportunity to ask your question. To withdraw a question, push the 0 and 2 buttons on your telephone. Should you be listening over the loudspeaker, I'd like to ask you to ask your questions by picking up the receiver. Thank you, and a moment for the first question, please. Christoph Rauwald, Bloomberg. Your line is open. Hello. Mr. Rauwald? Yes, Rauwald, Bloomberg. I have 3 questions, please. First question on the cooperation with Jaguar Land Rover. Could you elaborate a little more concerning the content and future potential of the cooperation? And does that also include the option to have a capital investment along with that cooperation? Second question is about China. Has a decision been taken yet on local production of the X5? And my third question relates to the development of the margins. When do you think will BMW go back to the 8 to 10% margin range? Despite the challenges that you outlined at the beginning, is that conceivable for next year, or is that something that will take longer? Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Krüger will begin to answer Jaguar Land Rover, and then Mr. Peter. Well, the question was cooperation Jaguar Land Rover. We have a cooperation for electric drive systems that we agreed on. We're talking about other topics where we might cooperate. We want to identify those. Of course, that's a helpful lever in electromobility to achieve economies of scale, to reduce costs for both parties, but a capital or an acquisition is not something that's planned and that's not going to happen. Then about China, Mr. Peter. Well, China in total. In China in the first quarter, we're doing pretty well. We're growing despite a declining overall market. We've grown by more than 15%, which is above all due to the great acceptance of the X3 there. We will continue to launch new models in the market in China. Next, we're planning for the end of the year after the ramp-up of the 3 Series. Then in August, we want to locally produce the X2 in China, and then the year after, the fully electric X3, which will also be exported to other markets from Shenyang. Now about the 8 to 10% range, that continues to be our strategic goal. I guess in the current very volatile environment, it simply doesn't make sense to give forecast to say, yeah, in 2020, 21, 22, this is where we'll get back to it. Well, what's important is that as part of our corporate program Performance Next, we need to very consistently work on improvements everywhere using all levers. We have a very strong focus and had a very strong focus in the past few months in improvements of material costs for existing models. We prioritize investments, we work with future-oriented technologies, and we're working on optimizations for various core corporate processes. And for the current year, yeah, we're trying to maintain our guidance. Thank you. Next question, please. The next question is from Max Hägler, Süddeutsche Zeitung. Your line's open. Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for your time, Mr. Krüger. You also said a few words on a very personal note. An era is closing. What do you expect from the automobile industry in the next few years? What are the major challenges? And secondly, if I may ask, what will you personally do? Thank you. Well, Herr Hägler, I assume that this is a question that you'd like to have answered by Mr. Krüger. Well, what do I expect from the automobile industry in the coming years? Well, we're in the greatest transformation ever. And I'm not saying this from a position of responsibility, but there's 3 or 4 parallel developments. There's a very volatile environment. Global trade is no longer a matter of course, and there's pressure on the business model. Second thing is, we have a ramp of electromobility, of sustainable mobility. I mean, we're open to technologies. There's also hydrogen and other solutions for the automobile industry in the future. Just think of large trucks, lorries, transporters. So I expect that in terms of technology, the race is on for electromobility and also the associated cost positions. So only those will be successful who will be able to handle the costs. So we need to invest into things that go into the future, and then digitizing the customer interface, automated driving. That, I think, has a high strategic value too, because here, customer behavior, mobility is changing. So the OEMs will have to completely accept the fact that there will be sustainable mobility, changed regulatory environment, and changed customer behavior. But as I said in my speech, I'm firmly convinced that the BMW is on the right track. We are technology leader. And just look at the cooperation with Jaguar and Land Rover. It just goes to show that BMW Group has very good drive systems, also electric systems. as well as combustion engines. We have a cooperation with Daimler in the strategy for automated driving phase one. I don't want to list it all, but I think what's important is to concentrate on the core business and then strategic expansions in corporations. What will I personally do? Well, Mr. Hegler, in August I'll go on holiday, and after that I'll have a look around and just wait and see. Okay, thank you. Next question, please. Edward Taylor, Reuters. Your line's open. Thank you, gentlemen. I have three questions. First one, which Brexit scenario are you preparing yourself for, and which are the associated costs? Has that changed in any way? Then, Mr. Peter, you said there was depreciation in some models. Second-hand values decreased. Could you elaborate which models are affected and how were the costs offset, or which precautions did you take? And the third thing was, I think that was already been answered. Thank you. Okay, Edward Taylor. Well, Brexit. Mr. Krüger? Well, let's say, in addition to what Mr. Hegler asked, for the automotive industry and for their managers, it's important that the companies remain highly flexible, that they can respond flexibly to changes on the market, production demand, additional demand. As far as Brexit is concerned, we're prepared for all scenarios. Highly flexible production, flexibility among suppliers. Of course, we're for a pragmatic solution. If there's a hard Brexit, everybody will lose. Both sides will lose. So it's flexibility, production control, and that's something that's always been a strength of BMW. And I guess we're better prepared than many others, but I must clearly say a hard Brexit is not what is right and good for Europe or the UK. Thank you. Second part of the question, that was the depreciation and the residual values. Mr. Peter? Well, Mr. Taylor, actually I said the opposite. I said that positive development in financial services influenced by two topics, that's portfolio growth and the very stable risk situation at reduced residual value risk expenses. Why is that? Well, especially in the United States, we further optimized our marketing process. We are also using new digital marketing opportunities. So in all and globally, we're really seeing a very stable residual value situation in our portfolio. And then again, the credit risk is also managed extremely well. And historically, that's also on a very low level at the moment. Thank you. Next question. Next question, Marco Engelmann, DPA. Your line's open. Good morning. Dr. Peter or Mr. Krüger, I don't know. Could you tell us a little more about... Could you speak up a little, please, Mr. Engelmann? I'll try. Dr. Peter or Mr. Krüger, could you tell us about earnings development second quarter in China? We've seen that deliveries are going well there, but people who know about the premium segment, you know, they know there's price pressure in China. So can you tell us if you're affected by that? Thank you. Mr. Peter, please. Well, in our joint venture, BBA, we have the following situation. Very good volume development, slightly above 15% in the first quarter. In the second quarter, this growth will be slightly weaker because of the basis effect of the X3, which
we have launched in August 2018, but we will continue to be somewhere in the range of 10% over the entire year, 10% growth in China. Second aspect, price development. Now, thanks to the very well accepted and good models in the market, that's very stable in China. X3, 5 series, they're going very well in China. Now we're coming with the 3 series, now with the imported vehicles. China is an important market for the new 7 series. That makes a positive contribution. So I guess we're well on track here. Now for BBA, as planned, we have slightly higher expenses in order to prepare for production of the 3 series and also the X2. But all in all, for the entire year, in terms of sales and in terms of earnings, we are right on track. Thank you. Next question, please. Next question by Mirko Reipka, Plato Brief. Your line's open. I have a question to you personally. Could you perhaps tell us again or give us the reasons for your decision? Why did you not want to renew your contract? Do you have any headwind in the supervisory board? And then I'd like to know what's your estimate, the course that BMW has taken in electromobility in the past few years. Well, from your point of view, was the timing right, or did you start going for this drive technology too early? Because most recently, there were accusations around that you didn't earn a lot and then you lost your leading edge. Mr. Krieger? Well, electromobility, BMW began very early, and I think that was the right thing. That was fundamentally important. What's more, I was part of that board decision, or those 3 decisions. I mean, at the time, I really fully supported that decision. It's quite fundamental, because without that decision, take the i8, for example. We wouldn't even have developed the technology on the software side in order to sell all those plug-in hybrids. We have very many successful plug-in hybrids on the market, and for the European markets and for the US, that was highly relevant. Now, the i3, to us, that was fundamentally important. A nice thing is, it still is a very successful model, 21% growth worldwide. That was also the prerequisite to further develop the technology. So next-generation e-drives are developed on that basis. Now, next, 5th generation, we would never have been able to develop that without the rare earth if we hadn't started with the i3. And this is all fundamentally important. And let me say BMW, and it goes to show with the cooperation with Jaguar and Land Rover, the fact that we're doing a cooperation means that BMW has high competence there. We're in an excellent position as far as competence, know-how, and knowledge is concerned about e-mobility. Consider, we have fully electric vehicles, 20, 23, 25 different ones. And we started all of this very early, and I can tell you there's more in store, you know, from BMW Group. So electromobility and the great variety of drive technologies worldwide. I mean, customers are just different, and the infrastructure in the world is different. You know, you might be in California, or you might be in Midwest or in Ohio, completely different situation. If you're looking infrastructure for electromobility there, you see? That's why we think a solution like an X3 is either purely electric, a plug-in hybrid, or a combustion engine. That is a possible solution. And the reason for the decision? Well, sometimes, you know, there's points in your life where you just want to do something new. Thank you. Next question, please. Markus Fasse, Handelsblatt. Your line's open. Good morning, gentlemen. 2 questions. One relates to the IAA, the motor show. protests have been announced in advance already by various groups. I guess they'll also focus on BMW. This will all be about CO2 and SUVs. So how will you deal with that? Are you planning to proactively approach your critics? Will you change your exhibition concept? Will you also show other models than usually in order to take the wind out of their sails? And how do you see the future of the IAA? Can you tell us something about that? And then a personal question to Mr. Krüger. Unfortunately, I didn't get what you said at the beginning, but could you perhaps tell us which two or three decisions that you have taken during your term as office, which were the most important ones of which you're hoping or of which you think that these will always be connected with you? Thank you. But you want a lot of answers. Let me begin with the motor show, the IAA, the protest that's been announced. That was on a dialogue platform of the Automotive Association. But what I can say is the automotive industry, we have to have a dialogue here. It's important to talk to all stakeholders, to have an exchange of arguments, to understand arguments, to listen to people, and to accept different points of view. But when there's one thing I've learned, then I must say dialogue and constructive discussions are important here. This is why the VDA, the Industry Association, you know, invited all parties, but that requires all parties to join that discussion. But, I mean, the BMW Group does have dialogues or has had dialogues with stakeholders for a very long time in different forms. It's important to listen to your customers, to listen to society and different groups in society, and you need to draw your conclusions. And as I said, you know, if you've got three children, then you're permanently in a dialogue about the future of this globe. And that's something that really moves me every day. I do wonder, how does it go on? We all have responsibility. This is why I think dialogue is the right thing. And at the IAA, I guess this will take more room than in the past, which is a good thing for the motor show. That's a good development. Then back to the decisions during my term of office. Well, number one, we are a board of management. We're a team. It's not a single person that takes a decision. Given the volatility of the environment, it's important that we have a constructive dialogue, also as members of the board. Maybe different points of view, but decisions taken jointly. That's relevant. Now, what was relevant? I'd say taking over majority in the joint venture with China, BBA. That will accelerate our development in the next 2 years. And that's only possible if you have a trustworthy player in China who's always delivered on its promises in good times and in bad times. Second thing that will stay, and perhaps some journalists will have a closer look at that, the model initiative is working. We've had these discussions, but when I look at the X7 segment leader from 0 to 100, we're gaining market share in the first 6 months compared to competitors, but of course in a declining overall market with a lot of pressure. The third thing that will stay is to focus on innovation and profitability. We've decided a lot of things you'll see over the next few years. Products, other topics, next gen, that gave us some insights. And in all modesty, I'd say, just be surprised, inspired by the next 2 years. You'll see decisions that still stem from the time when I was a board member. Thank you. Next question. William Boston, Wall Street Journal. Your line's open. Hello, everyone. I have a couple of questions to Mr. Krüger and perhaps also to Mr. Peter. One question is about development of your profit. Today you're saying that the decline of the margin is mainly due to charges from the first quarter, and that if you just continue well for the rest of the year, you can compensate for that, and that you will then be right on track as expected. But
will the year just develop calmly? That's something, given the current situation, seems to be pretty unlikely. Looking at Brexit and trade war and things. So if things don't develop as expected, so what will the year look like then? What's the risk? Second topic, Brexit. I'd like to know. You're talking about flexibility. What exactly did you do in order to reach that flexibility? If we'll have a hard Brexit, for example, and then Mr. Krüger, what's your personal message to Boris Johnson? Thank you. Well, I guess I have to give Mr. Krüger a bit of time, you know, to formulate his personal message to Boris Johnson. Let's begin with Mr. Peter and the outlook and the risks. Mr. Peter, please. Well, outlook. Second half of the year. We're now at the end of the first 6 months, and in segment automobile, we're at 6.1% without the reserves for the antitrust allegations. So that's exactly in the range between 6 and 8%. We continue to assume that thanks to our positive product momentum, X7 will be fully available, X5 is running very well. I've already mentioned this. We have a very good development also with the X3 year on year, so all of the X models, and then the new 3 series, new 1 series, they're coming. So on the product side, in all, we have pretty good momentum. That's one positive or important positive aspect. Then on the currency side, currencies and commodities, you know, when we're talking about risk, at the beginning of the year, we assumed, as I told you at the conference call, that we'd be somewhere between 500 million and 1 billion. Now, in the past few months, that turned out to be rather at the lower limit of that figure, which is also positive. Now, Brexit and trade restrictions, well, it's very, very difficult to make a forecast what exactly will happen in the next few months. I think last year we have proven that we are able to react and respond pretty well to quick changes. At the last conference call, I already told you this. For Brexit, we have taken some precautions, and as far as flexibility of our plants is concerned, and that's not only in Oxford, I mean worldwide, we are, well, very well prepared. We're in a good position. And all of this makes us confident that we will be able to maintain our guidance 4.5% to 6.5%, including the provisions for the antitrust issue. Okay, then back to Mr. Krüger. Well, my message to Boris Johnson, 3 or 4 things as a personal message. Number one, BMW Group is an important player in the UK, and this is an important market for us. One of the 2 of our premium brands. Then number 2, free trade is what's most successful, and a hard Brexit is not in the interest of the industry and the country. Third thing, listen to the economy and listen to the people. You need to have a dialogue with the economy on all of these topics, and I hope that you'll find a pragmatic compromise that all sides can live with. And for that, I would even go and see Boris Johnson personally, talk to him. Thank you. Next question, please. Jan Schreiber, AFP. Hello, and thank you. Something about Brexit. Well, how about
interrupting production in October, even if there's no holidays. Then secondly, the high costs as a consequence of that. Will you still achieve your CO2 costs, or is there some degree of uncertainty? Are you sure you'll reach those targets? And then LTP phase two, how do you see that in autumn? Are you preparing for this in some way, or are you worried about it? Thank you. Well, Mr. Schreiber, thank you. Mr. Krieger, please. Well, interruption in production in the UK, possible? Well, we're not planning it. In April, we had an interruption of production. In the summer, we didn't. And for the autumn, we have the mini electric ramp up, and we will not have an interruption of production there because we've got more than 40,000 interested buyers. And the ramp up of production of the mini electric in Oxford, that's important for us for supplying to our customers towards the end of the year or early next year. So much for UK. And then, of course, we can always react flexibly with our shifts in Oxford. We're not planning an interruption, but we're flexible in the days and also in the shifts. Then CO2 regulation and the EU. Well, between 1995 and 2018, we reduced our CO2 or by 42%. The plug-in hybrid initiative, the e-cars, such as the Mini Electric, such as the E4, the i6, they will contribute to achieving those CO2 targets. Sure, that's still a challenge. And we're working on measures such as 48 volt for a combustion engine, then the purely electric. We've got the plug-in hybrids, and I said that from 2019 to 2021, our sales volume electrified vehicles will double. And with doubling that volume and then 30% growth per year, this is what we communicated at the Next Gen. With that, well, that certainly makes it easier for us to reach the CO2 targets. Sure, it is a challenge, but if you look at our competitors, BMW Group is doing much better than its premium competitors because we have highly efficient combustion engines and also our diesel engine. That makes its contribution. So we will consistently work on this for months, and for many, we've been working on this. Let me give you an example. WLTP conversion 2018, we were the only company who managed it quite successfully. And the transition to WLTP in 2019 is also going according to plan, and we're preparing for the technological changes. Be it 2018, it was the WLTP introduction, and then the next level, all of this was prepared very professional and under high pressure, and you can imagine, you know, people are really working hard on that also here at the research center. And we are well prepared for everything that's coming. Thank you. Next question, please. Christian Hetzner, Automotive News Europe. Your line's open. Thank you and good morning. Couple of questions. Looking into the future, will BMW have to look for a partner in the long run? I mean, being on your own, can you remain competitive? And then I'd like to know your greatest competitor, Mercedes. How do you select your suppliers? Will you select them based on CO2 emissions? Will they be compensated based on whether they achieve CO2 goals? And that's something Daimler wants to do. What are you doing specifically in order to minimize CO2 emissions, cradle to grave, apart from your announcement of using renewable energies worldwide for your production as of next year? Okay, let's begin with Mr. Peter and then Mr. Krüger. Mr. Peter, please. Well, this is nothing new to us. Sustainability. We're always looking at the entire value-added chain. By the way, that also applies to the raw materials for the batteries. A very, very great deal of sensitivity is required here. So this is part of our DNA, really. We're looking at the entire value-added chain. Mr. Krüger? Is BMW large enough? Do we need to look for partners? Well, in our industry, it's not a question of size, but now a question of speed, really. The speedy ones are the important ones. And in a second step, and it's something we're consistently doing, BMW needs to look for strategic cooperations in certain topics where you need economies of scale. Let's take mobility services or automated driving or drive technologies. But, I mean, speed, own strategic competence, independence, all of these are fundamental in the combination with targeted strategic corporations that are a win-win for both sides and that are always limited in time. And I'm firmly convinced that this is what will make us successful. Major or large corporations are usually very complex, very slow, and very hard to control. Thank you. Next request for the floor. Stefan Kronek, Börsenzeitung. Your line's open. Well, gentlemen, I don't have any personal question to you, Mr. Krüger. I guess everything's been said, but I have a couple of comments or questions concerning your statements, Mr. Peter, in relation to cash flow. You mentioned that in the second half of the year there will be challenges, but you will reach your targets. Did you mention that the market development in some regions were below expectations? And I'd like to know which regions did you refer to when you said that? Second question, burdens or costs. You mentioned depreciation. Which depreciation was it that you were referring to? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kronik. Mr. Peter. Well, about the market development. Well, actually, all regions, if you look at the globe, all regions develop differently or not as well as forecasted by the forecast institutes. That applies to China, to Europe, and to the United States. But despite this development, we grew slightly in the first 6 months of the year, and in all regions, we gained segment share. I guess that underlines the strength of our portfolio. Why is it that we're doing well in terms of free cash flow? Well, look at it. On the one hand, we had a build-up of working capital in the first 6 months, which was planned, which is in particular due to supplies to overseas markets of products of the various X model series, which we launched. So in the second quarter, we almost reached a peak on that basis. We don't only have a good sales development, but we can also reduce working capital now. And I guess that's a very good basis for the second half of the year. And I'm optimistic that we'll manage all of this because we have strong product momentum. Now, about the depreciations, which depreciations are those? That's depreciations for tangible assets, and we had the plant construction in Mexico, and 2017 to 18, as you saw, we had capitalized research and development costs, which increased in the previous years. And on top of that, we have a purely technical effect, which is the transformation to IFRS 16. Thank you, Mr. Peter. Now the last question for today. Jörn Polz, Thomson Reuters. Hello, I have two questions. you mentioned that increased competition has an effect on result, and then you said price development in China is stable. My question, does that mean that in other regions there's pressure on the prices so that you have to reduce prices? And my second question relates to development of jobs in the group, your own employees, cost discipline. What does that mean for the development of your headcount or the number of jobs? Thank you, Dr. Peter. Well, development of headcount, we're on track. We're going to achieve our target. That means we're not building up any headcount compared to 2018. So headcount on the same level as last year. At the same time, we're building up in other areas. There's a plant in Mexico that went live. We are building a battery center, which will be opened in a couple of weeks' time. We are investing and in building up competences in the field of software development. So there's other areas where headcount needs to be decreased, and on the other hand, new jobs will be created. There is a mid-range four-digit number here, which means that same number needs to be reduced elsewhere, and we'll do that via natural fluctuation. So there's no special measures that we had planned. We will also consistently work on topics such as contract for fixed number of working hours, and, well, it's a very competitive situation, and we want to, you know, keep tabs on our personnel costs. Now, intensive competition, that was your other question. I guess, well, we were hoping that we'd be able to reduce discounts even more strongly because we have a very strong product portfolio, especially in Europe and in the United States. However, well, that positive development is limited by the high degree of competition we're facing in those markets. Just to mention some markets, South Europe, Italy, Spain, a market that developed well in the past, such as Turkey, that's become a little more difficult. On the other hand, we saw positive developments in China, in Russia, where the product portfolio is very well received. Okay, thank you, Dr. Peter. Ladies and gentlemen, colleagues, thank you. That was the last conference call with Harald Krüger. My own name and the name of the team, thank you very much, Harald Krüger. It was a very, very good cooperation. At the next conference call, early November, Oliver Zipse will welcome you as the new CEO, and Nicola Peter, board member finance, will be there. Colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, all the best to you. Thank you and have a nice summer. Thanks for your participation. The conference is over.